Hey there, everyone. I am your host today, Zoe LeBrun, of Eat Your Arts and Vegetables, an arts talk radio show. We are doing a pre-recording today. Today it is April 2nd, just in advance of a performance that's happening at Plug-in ICA tonight.
Yes.
So with me today is Chipa Ziwa.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Chipo is a performance artist whose practice investigates the power dynamic between performer and audience. She received her BA in visual arts at the University of British Columbia in 2019 and has had a score of shows across Canada and all over the place. welcome.
Thank you.
Should we start with just talking a bit about the performance that's happening tonight?
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So what's it called? What's it about?
Okay. So the title of this piece is called Slipping Into Slipping Away. And essentially last year in 2024, I did a residency at an artist-run center in Vancouver called Western Front. And when I was there, I was also working on the book that's also being launched tonight titled My Mother, My Home.
Right.
And that book, I gave myself the task to try and archive my performances without any literal depictions of my body. So I used text, and I worked with three of my friends who provided paintings, drawings, and prints. So, you know, Western Front has this reputation of archiving live art. So I was like, this is the perfect space for me to be as this book is, you know, being finalized and published. And I'm kind of at like this stage in my practice where it's like, okay, this is the first 5 years of my practice. Am I happy with the work that I've done? Not really. Mm. Where do I go from here? So when I was there, the amazing executive director, Susan Gibb, put me in mentorship with Justine Chambers and Autumn Knight. And from that mentorship, this piece was born. And it was essentially me sitting at the foyer at Western Front, but sourcing movements from what happened there. So like, you know, the action of taking off one's coat, the action of stepping on a trash can with a lid, or just kind of tracing all the paths that happen when you enter a gallery space is kind of like the foundation of this piece.
Okay.
But as I've, you know, in November, that was when it first happened, and I did it for 3 nights in a row, and it was insane.
Yeah.
But taking a break in December and then coming back to January to now and just like revisiting that piece, I've kind of realized that it's a work about slipping into like insanity and slipping away from actuality.
Mm.
Yeah, because, you know, it kind of starts off with like the gallery attendant in the case of Western Front, in the case of Plug-In, it's like the bookstore, you know, like what happens when you set the stage up for the day? And then from there, it just starts to get a little bit weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I love it. Sort of a sidebar, but I was recently reading a bunch of short stories that were almost exclusively about like women and queer characters slipping into insanity and like the like a derealization, and so like that idea is really resonating with me right now. And so your performance tonight is going to be happening at Plug-In ICA.
Yeah.
And after that, you're going on tour with it.
Yes, this is the first stop of my tour, of my Canadian leg of the tour. So Winnipeg was the first stop.
Amazing. We're and so then, honored.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you guys have me here.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I fly out to Toronto, where I'll be performing at Art Metropole on April 9th. And then after it's Toronto, I fly out to Montreal, where Dare Dare is going to be having like the opening of their programming year. So I will be April 17th. I know it's the Thursday, and I will be performing at Topple, I believe is how you, T-O-P-O?
That's
going to be the venue in Montreal. And then I kind of take a break and just like gather my bearings.
Mm-hmm.
And then in September, I do the European portion of the tour. So I'm going to be starting in Copenhagen, Brussels, Berlin, Amsterdam, and ending in London.
Wow, that's quite the run.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I do some performance here and there, but I'm not, like, strictly a performance artist. And I've never thought about the fact that you could take a performance on tour.
Oh, my God, I know.
What is that like?
I know. Well, to be quite honest with you, I would argue that this book has been in development since 2018, because I've been kind of, like, pulling journal entries from then.
Mm-hmm.
So when I knew that the book was, like, about to be sent off, to be printed, I was like, I want to tour this book. Like, I've only ever shown my work in Vancouver. I'm very, like, curious to see what is the rest of the art scope within Canada and beyond. And then this performance really started to come together in October. Mm-hmm. So it was around... Yeah, I think that, like, you know, once I had a score of this performance and once I realized that these two are actually talking to each other, I was like, oh, my God, not only am I going to tour this book, I have to tour this performance. Mm-hmm. And it's been an interesting challenge because I argue that the work very much considers the architecture within Western Front. You know, like, the front desk is extremely high. Like, when you sit down, the table kind of goes up until your eyes.
Okay, yeah.
There are two metal poles right in the middle of the foyer. Yeah, and then there's, like, a staircase, too, so, and a hallway as well. So just having to ask myself these questions of, like, am I going to honor, like, Western Front structure? Am I going to adapt the work to wherever I'm going? And I guess, like, right now, because I've, you know, plugins the first stop, I have adapted it to here. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've broken up the work into 10 acts, and, like, the first two acts are very much, like, they have to represent accurately what's going on, because opening act is setting the stage of, like, I'm going to wake up the gallery. Like, whatever tasks that happened at Western Front are not necessarily the same tasks that are going to take place in Plug-In or Art Metropole. Sure. And then the second act, I call it Trace Walks, where it's just, like, at the point of entry in this space, where do people go? And once again, it's going to be different for every single place. But then from that point onwards, the acts can kind of remain true to the origin.
Okay. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like installation art in that way where...
Okay.
Like, your performances are dependent on the spaces that they're in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually never thought about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like a live installation.
Well, I like that.
Yeah. And it's interesting to think about how routine and different kind of tasks that lead people around these spaces, they kind of feel like installations in their own right sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what inspired you to sort of start this body of work?
Which one, the book or the performance?
I guess both.
I think that with this book, I wanted to acknowledge that, you know, I want to be, like, I want this to be a career, like, being an artist, but also just acknowledging that the work that I did in my undergrad does not accurately represent my interests or the path that I want to go down. And I just wanted to give myself some form of closure. And I've been really thinking about, you know, archives of, like, who, you know, kind of like history, right? Like, history is not, like, a neutral thing. It's very Mm-mm. biased.
Yep.
So just kind of looking at myself and examining the biases that are within there. And I think, like, me having my body not be physically present as well is also kind of me addressing that kind of bias. I don't know if I'm trying to make sense, but... Essentially, me writing this book was a way for me to give myself a platform to be heard, because I think that, you know, there's so many discourses within the art scene that sometimes your voice can just go either unlistened to or, mm-hmm. yeah. So I just was like, okay, I'm speaking, I'm giving myself closure. It was like addressing quite a number of things.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, providing myself, like, kind of a really solid document to just look at what I've done mm-hmm. and where I've been.
Yeah, and where you're going next.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I know people who are like, oh, I don't know what work I want to make. I feel lost. And then they tell me to go write an essay.
Yeah.
Because that can help give you direction.
Yeah.
Right? You know, go write about whatever it is you want to think about. And then eventually that'll become reflected in the work.
Yeah. But, and I think, too, that with writing this as well, it's been a really painful experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because there have been moments where I've been... like, really honest with myself to the point where I'm like, oh my God, my mother has a copy of this book. Well, she will have a copy of this book. I'm not sure if I'm able to, if I feel comfortable with the things that she's going to read. And, like, mm-hmm. throughout it, you know, there's some handwritten notes and I'm like crossing things out, I'm blocking things out, I'm like redacting things, because mm-hmm. it's honestly like an ongoing battle of trying to establish some sort of boundary with myself and my practice. And I think that I've kind of stumbled into a predicament where, because performance art is the medium that I work in, I cannot help but discuss like myself. Mm-hmm. But then it's also like, I don't want just everybody to know my business as well. So I think that like that struggle is pretty evident within the book.
100%. And, you know, that's something that anytime someone makes work that involves the self, something I like to ask them is, how do you protect yourself? What are the boundaries that you set in order to be vulnerable and, you know, like create that intimacy between yourself, the work, your audience, but then also, you know, protect your heart, protect yeah. your mind. Sometimes protect your identity. Like, yeah, yeah, like you said, you don't need everybody knowing your business.
No.
But yeah. But yeah, sounds like it's an ongoing kind of like thing you're working through right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you found any strategies so far that help?
No. No, I was just shaking my head. I haven't, but I think that there's joy in that. There's joy in not knowing.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. And something you were saying about this book was that it's sort of a way of giving yourself closure to a part of your practice that you are no longer satisfied with.
Yes.
Do you want to unpack that a little bit? And
sure, yeah. I think that, you know, at the time when I attended the University of British Columbia, like, my peers, it was very few of them were, you know, Black, and I was just kind of asking myself, okay, like, how can I talk about my experience if people in the room don't necessarily have that, like, general understanding of where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. And I think that with a lot of my instructors also not sharing these similar experiences with me, I kind of felt myself making work that explored Black trauma rather than Black joy, because I was just like, it's easier to talk about the pain than to kind of not.
Mm-hmm. And people are more likely to engage with work that is, like, for lack of a better word, I guess more dramatic, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very understandable thing, and it's understandable that you'd want to kind of, like, put an end to that chapter and kind of like start thinking more about Black joy.
Exactly.
I think is really cool.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that when I look at some of my previous work, the Black joy especially has been explored. Like, what's the name of that piece? Watching You Move With Myself As I Watch You Watch Me. I performed it at the Polygon Gallery. The year escapes me. It's either 2022 or 2023. But it's like a video piece of me dancing with a projected version of myself. Mm. And like the playlist is made out of Black artists from various genres and decades. And sometimes it's like I'm synced up, so the people who are watching in person thought, oh, this is just a delayed recording. But then it was like, oh, wait, no, it's not. So, yeah.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
I think, I like that term Black joy, because it's making me think of all these theorists that are coming out in, like, ever since COVID. I feel like I've been seeing more literature come out about rest as resistance and how mm-hmm. rest is, like, so key to, like, and joy, of course, mm-hmm. is key to, like, Black liberation movements and liberation of, like, all peoples. Mm-hmm. So that's just something that I'm kind of milling about in my head at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel this performance kind of helps close that chapter or moves it forward into a new space?
By pushing myself into a territory that I've never been before, or just being brutally honest with myself. Mm-hmm. Like, going back to slipping into slipping away, and also the book My Mother, My Home, I had a really good friend of mine, Yasmin, like, we were having coffee, and she was just like, I actually think that you're writing about dissociating. And I was like, oh my God, makes sense, because making performances is actually not an enjoyable experience for me. I find it very difficult to just be present in the now. And also when you know working with mirrors as well, or just recording myself and then going back to that video footage to see what I've done, mm-hmm. it's just so, it's like I hate it so much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also interesting to just kind of keep what my friend said to me in the back of my mind, of just realizing, like, wow, like, me writing about performances is a way of trying to locate myself as I'm going through dissociation as well.
Right.
And yeah. I think too, like, with this piece starting off with someone doing like a job that kind of gets overlooked, like people often kind of like dissociate during work, no?
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah. And then a feedback that I also got as well is like someone was like, wow, I kind of felt like we were in this moment of reality with you. And then spoiler alert, I like removed my shoes. But that, like me removing my shoes is kind of like that moment of like, okay, we are no longer situated in a shared reality. Like we're in this person's like headspace. We're in a mm-hmm. fantasy, surreal landscape with them. What's going to happen next? There's also, so when I was developing the work as well, I saw a psychoanalysis, and for some reason we started talking about zucchinis, and I found this image of a zucchini. It's like a cartoon of the zucchini, mm-hmm. like with the thumbs up.
And, okay.
And yeah, and I kind of like how it will make an appearance in every single performance that I do, but also that zucchini, when it appears, it's kind of a moment of like, did I just see that?
Yeah, did I imagine that?
Yeah,
am I projecting onto the performance now as yeah. a viewer?
Yeah, it's also yeah. kind of a silly performance, which is also like I've never worked with human humor before. I mm-hmm. think too that I had to really work against this like image that I had in my mind of like all artists are serious, like take me seriously.
Yeah.
So just to kind of like have humor work at this like. So to have humor present itself as a kind of like a subvert way to get a message across is something new to me and something that I actually hope to continue doing.
Yeah. And it's not an easy task to do.
No.
It's a very delicate balance. But I think that's a really interesting way to go about it, because I think there is sort of like a stereotype, especially of performance artists, as being like super serious,
yeah.
stoic, and like every single action is loaded with symbolic meaning. And that yeah. might be true, and that's allowed to be true, and that's valid, but also sometimes you need room to breathe.
Yeah.
And that's where humor can help come in, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting that you use the word dissociating in relation to your performances, because so how did you get into performance, if it's something that makes you nervous, if you feel like you kind of check out, or...
Because I was bad at everything else. Like, I took blurry photos. I can't draw. Definitely can't paint. I feel like with printmaking, you know, you have to kind of follow, like, these guidelines of being neat. And I'm
very
just
strict.
Messy. Yeah. So I just kind of couldn't... I can never escape myself. And I found that to be true within performance. So I've just kind of stayed mm-hmm. in it.
Yeah, there's a line in personality psychology. It's like kind of like, wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you're using writing as well then. Because, like, for me, I kind of view writing as a private performance.
Ooh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, like journaling, yeah.
Yeah, it's something that you're doing just for yourself, and no one is necessarily going to see it, but it's still, like, you sat down
mm-hmm.
with this goal or this intent and created this writing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, whether you intend it to or not, later when you reflect on it, can become more than what it was in the moment. And that's something that I think is really interesting about, like, embodied actions and that fun stuff.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, so how does it feel like having writing incorporated into your practice in a more direct way now?
Vulnerable, because... Like, I have no idea what I thought. Like I do not know if I thought that no one was going to look at what I was writing, but I very much was just in the mindset of, like, just be honest with yourself. It's just you and the page. Say whatever happens. And now I'm kind of like, fuck, like, am I allowed to... Well, I'm just like, oh my God, like, there are books out there now. Like, someone in Europe is holding a copy of my book, and it's, like, me admitting... some really heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it feels vulnerable.
Because it's kind of a look directly inside your head in a way.
Exactly.
Which
yeah.
Sometimes I think that's what people miss when it comes to performance, because they see, like, the exterior, and then you feel, like, the environment and the objects that are around, but then you don't really necessarily get into the person's head.
Which, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of explore different, like, methods of trying to recall a performance. Like, one of them, you know, reads as a journal entry. One of them is the actual script from one of my previous performances. And, like, I cross it out and very much revisit it in the present day and, like, challenge previous thoughts and beliefs that I had. One of them is a poem. The other one is me going through emails and just being like, what was I saying in these emails?
Yeah. That sounds awesome. I love that idea of, like, using spoken word as well in performance. Because mm-hmm. a lot of the times it feels like it has to be, like, quiet or sound.
I'm not speaking in this one.
Oh, you aren't in this one?
No, because I'm kind of like, the book says everything.
That's fair. I still like spoken word, but I totally get that. And so are people encouraged to read the book as they watch the performance? Or is it kind of something that you would ask them to visit after they watch the performance?
Yeah, after.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And do you have any of the scores of your performances in the book?
Like, of this current performance?
Yeah.
No, I'm saving that for the next book. I don't know, because I'm kind of thinking to myself, maybe I should revisit this practice of archiving without any photographs of, you know, me. So I have, like, a journal of this performance that's been developed, and I'm very much like, I'm not going to throw away this journal. There's so much, like, good stuff in it, or just even the clear change of, like, what it means to compose a performance in different spaces as well as something that I want to keep track of. This work very much ends. Like, I actually think I do write in the book that it's 2024. Oh, I'm not going to spoil it, but I very much acknowledge that, like, this performance is not in the book.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's totally fair. I like this idea of archiving performance in a book or a written form and inviting other people to participate in it. Because so often people think, okay, so you document the performance and it's just like a video.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is such a clever way to do it instead, and it becomes a work of its own, right? It's not just documentation. It's, like, a reflection of, like, this, like, vast interior process that you had to go through to develop it. Or past performances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of this was easy. Yeah.
And so we are nearing the end of our available time here.
Oh, no.
Oh, so sad. But before we go, so the book that is going to be available, Plugin, will be available all along your Canadian and European tour.
Yeah.
That can be found at the Plugin bookstore.
Yes. Plugin has 20 copies.
Okay, so there's not many of them. If you want one.
Oh, and I don't even know how many are going to be, like, sold tonight.
Oh, yeah. So people better get there fast.
Yeah, if not, I think they have to go through my publisher to purchase the book because I'm all out of copies in Canada now. Mm-hmm. And I think that one's in euros, too. So,
And who is your publisher?
Archive Books? Yeah, based in Berlin, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Is that sort of how you ended up planning performances over there?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I should have asked that earlier, but I was wondering about how you kind of organized all of that.
Well, I think I acknowledge that, you know, my body has this extensive history of traveling. Like, I was born in Malaysia, lived in Switzerland and New York, and then moved here when I was 18 to attend UBC, and I've just, like, stayed since. And my parents are Zimbabwean. So I also wanted to revisit, like, that part of the world, Europe, when... Because I was there during my adolescence, you know, so I'm very much just like, what was... Yeah, like, I want to, like, see if my idea of that space, obviously it's not going to still ring true, like, things change and also people do as well, but I also very much wanted to see what was going on artistically in those cities,
totally.
And just how the work would be received as well.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to kind of return to these spaces and, like, what does your body remember and what does it not remember.
The body remembers, the body keeps score. The body keeps score.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to play a little bit of music at the end, but just to reiterate, unfortunately, this will be broadcasting after the performance here in Winnipeg happens. Yeah. But that performance is happening on Wednesday, April 2nd at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
at Plugin Institute of Contemporary Art.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Zoe LeBron, and I've been chatting with Chipo Chipaziwa.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me today. A little last minute pre-record.
I'm happy something was able to happen. Thank you for having me.
Yes, this has been wonderful.
Yeah.
Good luck on your performance and your upcoming tours. And go check out
My Mother, My Home.
My Mother, My Home at Plugin ICA's bookstore. Go talk to Gabby.
Yes.
Email Gabby if you want to reserve a copy.
Yeah.
Abby@plugin.org.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Stay tuned for Tawny the Brave, everybody. And see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
I'm sinking deeper into the habit again. That's the